Have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, and looking at verse number 1 through verse number 3, a very familiar text of Scripture, but I believed it to be one that is very applicable for this time of year and even in keeping with our particular thing. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Some of you that might have the New American Standard Version, it says, drift away. The Bible says in verse number 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, then every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? In keeping with our quarterly theme for this quarter, making the grade and elevating my walk and talk, I believe that before you can elevate your walk, sometimes it's necessary to reestablish your walk. And I want to ask the question that comes from the thoughts that is given by the Hebrew writer. Are you drifting? Are you drifting? As I studied and looked at this particular text, and as I prepared for this lesson, I find that it challenged me. And I hope and pray that it will challenge you to sincerely and honestly ask yourself the question, am I drifting? No matter who you are, and no matter where you are, you can drift. Ministers can drift. Elders and deacons can drift. Teachers and workers in the kingdom can drift. Individuals who have been members of the Lord's church basically all their lives can drift. And the question is, are you drifting? The story was told of two men that were fishing above a low dam near their hometown. And as they were concentrating on catching fish, they were unaware that they had drifted away from their original spot. And they were not far from the water flowing over the dam. And when they realized their situation, the current near the dam had become so powerful that they couldn't keep the boat from going over. Below the dam, there was dashing rocks and strong force of water that took them and the boat over those great boulders through the crevices in the rocks. And then when they got down to the bottom of the dam, they were caught by swirling waters. And they never came to the surface. And after days of relentless searching, the divers finally found one body. And then 2 or 3 days later, they found the other body. They were caught. They were destroyed. Because they didn't realize they were drifting. The question is, are you drifting? Would you know it if you were? And with this lesson, I hope to hopefully stimulate all of us to have a careful inspection and introspection regarding the danger of drifting away from the Lord. What is drifting, Brother Worthy? There are many ways that we could define it, but I would say that the one way that we can define it, drifting is the casual and the gradual moving away from those things designed to spiritually secure my soul. There are a few things you ought to know about drifting. First of all, drifting requires no effort. Just stop roaring, oaring on a boat, and you'll begin to drift. The wind will take you, or the currents can take you where it wants to go if you're not mindful of the course that you should be on. Same is true for the Christian. Which is why we're told in the text that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we drift away from them. And drifting is significant because it's rare that someone makes a sudden and permanent decision to leave the Lord. No one wakes up tomorrow and says, you know what, I'm done with this. Most of the time, you're slowly moving away. It's an unconscious process. It's possible to drift unaware in a boat. Many times the undercurrents are often unnoticeable on the surface. In a plane, the wind and the gravitational forces can move the plane without someone realizing it. That's why the pilot has to constantly look and monitor his course. Same is true in the spiritual realm. Many Christians have slowly drifted away from the Lord, and even on a collective basis, many churches have gradually drifted into error. Are you drifting? When I think about this idea of drifting, we got to be and maintain a mindset that says, I've got to always be trying to swim or move up against the tide. We've got to be constantly doing something. As it relates to Christians, we don't just sit and not be in action and not do things that help to add to who we are and what we are. There's got to be an action taken by us on a daily basis to keep from drifting. Faithfulness to the Lord is like oaring upstream. You got to continually be in effort. When I think about this, if you will, get 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9. Peter talks about the fact that we've got to continually be adding something to our lives. He said, and beside this, giving all diligence, he said, add to your faith. You know, the Peter, he assumes that faith is going to be there. But he's saying, not only is faith enough, you got to add to your faith. Faith is a foundation. It's a substance of things hoped for, but you got to add to it virtue. And you got to add to the virtue knowledge. Next. And to knowledge, temperance. I've got to have a mindset that says I'm not going to be satisfied with where I am. And to temperance, patience, as we live this life, we're going to have to be patient with it. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. And then look what he said. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if they're not in you, look at the next verse. But he that lacketh these things is blind. And you see, look at the text that says, and cannot see afar. You don't even know where you're going. You're drifting. And have forgotten that he was purged from his sins. And that's what the Hebrew writer is saying. We've got to remember those things that have been done on our behalf. We can't let them slip. When I think about this idea of drifting, there's some common signs for drifting. One common sign of drifting is a diminishing desire to study God's word and to pray. I've got to have a love for God's word. God's word living and permeating within me, it gives me stability. It gives me direction. It's that anchor that I need in my life to cause me to be what God would have me to be. And when I go back to the text of Hebrews chapter 2, where it says, we are to give a more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. When we think about the things that we have heard, we've got to give a greater recognition and a greater remembrance to those things which surround the gospel message. What we've heard, the facts, the promises, the records, the warnings of the gospel, we've got to hold on to those things. When I think about the gospel message goes all the way back to the early creation of man. God made man in his image, and he made us to be holy. He made us to be pure. He made us to be in his image. That was his desire. But then after God created man, Adam sinned and brought death, spiritual death, to all mankind. And as Adam brought spiritual death to all mankind, all of us were at a time in a hopeless state. And as we were all in a hopeless state, while we were yet in the state of sin, God provided a plan. And the plan that God provided was to bring his son so that we could be looked upon as justified in him. To perfect the plan, Jesus came to this earth and he died on the cross for our sins, that he might nullify and put to death death itself. And then as he completed the plan and he died on the cross, he then, before he left, said, I'm going to send you another comforter, which is the Spirit of truth. We are all individuals who have the Spirit of God living within us to help us, to comfort us, and to guide us. This then, as it provided me, as I responded to the truth, and I was baptized into Christ, and I'm purged of all my sins, it put me in a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. And this has placed me in an everlasting kingdom that shall never, ever go away. And what the Hebrew writer is saying, you need to remember all these things and don't let them slip out of your memory. God has done something wonderful for his people. God has done something great for his people. When the Christian doesn't study the word of God, and when the Christian prays less and less, I'm here to tell you he's drifting more and more. We got to have a love for the word of God. We got to, as the old preachers used to say, and my grandmother used to say, you need to stay prayed up. We need to give ourselves more to prayer. But then, not only is a desire to study God's word and pray a common sign of drifting, another common sign of drifting is a diminishing desire to be with God's people. This includes worship and the services of worship to God. One should always have the attitude that said, I was glad. Are you happy this morning? Are you glad to be here this morning? Do you ever stop to think what a wonderful privilege it is to be in the house of God this morning, to know what the word of God has to say, to know what God's plan is for me, to be a recipient of that plan? It's a wonderful privilege to be here in the presence of God this morning. And I love being around God's people. We ought to enjoy being around one another. We're not perfect. We have faults. We have failures. We have things that are about us that are not always right. But I love being around God's people. I hate to hear somebody say, you know, some of them folk in the church are just hypocrites. And then go to work on Monday. Talk about, I don't like being around church folk, but then you go around and work around some of the biggest hypocrites there ever were. And you don't complain about them being hypocrites. I don't care what my brother or sister might be struggling with. I'm glad to be in the house of God. And as we are members of the body of Christ and we have a need to grow and to develop and to keep from drifting, we need to be concerned about loving one another and edifying one another. And this edification and love should occur on a daily basis. And when a Christian prefers the companionship of the people of the world rather than fellow Christians, that person is drifting. You may not agree with me, but I believe you're drifting. What's another point? Another sign of drifting is one, a diminishing desire to share the gospel. When one obeys the gospel, he knows that God blotted out his sins and made him a new creature in Christ, and he wants to tell the world about Jesus. And you know, when I think about my life, and like I said, as I prepared this lesson, it convicted me. And I know as I stand before you, I've not done everything that I should, as much as I can, in sharing the word of God. But you know, right now, I'm involved in two Bible studies with two couples, two different couples on two different days. And I tell you what, it has invigorated me. When I see the wonderful enthusiasm and I see the desire and I see the amazement that sometimes comes to their eyes when they look and understand and realize what God has done, I just believe that one of the things that we can do to help keep from drifting is to share what we know with someone else. It reinvigorates what we know. It's easy to come to a point to where we take some things for granted. But when I realize and many times see through the eyes of someone who's coming to a knowledge of the truth, it's going to help me, it's going to invigorate me, it's going to strengthen me, it's going to keep me from drifting. But what's another thing? What are some remedies against drifting? When I think about drifting, I think about being on a boat. You know, if you've ever been on a cruise ship is a very large vessel. But on a cruise ship, even though it's a very large vessel, when that cruise ship comes to dock, it has to let down an anchor. We're going to have to let down our anchors. One of the ways that we let down our anchors, we're going to have to keep rowing. We're going to have greater diligence. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. I hope you don't mind these scriptures, but I think it's very important for us to look. I want to go down to now verse number 10. He said, wherefore, the rather, brethren, he said, give what? He said, give diligence. In other words, this walk is one that takes work. It's one that takes effort. As I said earlier, drifting doesn't take any effort, but it takes some effort to keep from drifting. He said, wherefore, the rather, brethren, he said, give diligence. In other words, always be working. What are you doing? I'm trying to make my calling and my election sure, and if you do these things, you shall never fall. And I will submit from the lesson and the title we're using, you're not ever going to drift. Then not only this, we must also be open and on guard for the undercurrent of temptation. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. When we look at this, Paul talks about this. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Next verse. He said, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit lusteth against the flesh, and these things are contrary to the other, that you cannot do the things that you would. We need to realize there's a battle going on within us. This spiritual man wants to move forward. It wants to move in the direction that God would have us to be. But this fleshly man wants you to drift off course. He wants you to go in another direction. But I've got to recognize that I've got to be constantly looking and on guard against the direction that are going on around me. And watch for the undercurrents. Satan is very crafty. That's why Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to battle against the wiles of the devil. And that word wiles means a cleverly devised plan. Satan knows where he can get us. Satan knows where he can bring us down. Satan knows how to bring our walk to a halt. But we got to be a people that recognize the undercurrents and allow ourselves to do those things that are going to help to cause us to grow. When I think about remedies against drifting as well, I need to recognize that as I strive to keep from drifting, I need to expect to go against the tide. I need to expect that. There are many tides to sweep us away. Young people, popularity, peer pressure, the praise of others. That's a tide, but you be ready to go against the tide. Modernism, skepticism, humanism. There are a lot of people here today that says, in this world today, that say, well, you have everything that is needed right within you to live this life. And they say the human is all the power that you need. There is no need for the power of God. There is no need for a higher power. But I'm here to tell you that secularism and modernism and humanism will only cause you to drift. Denominationalism and false doctrines of all kinds. We got to recognize. We got to go against the tide. Liberalism and worldliness in the church. Probably the greatest enemies of the church in our lifetime. But I'm here to tell you, church, we got to be ready to go against the tide. People may criticize us. Greenville Avenue, y'all, that old conservative church. Y'all are so straight-laced. And we got to go against the tide. I'm going to tell you, we're in a battle. The church is in a battle. The church and many are losing the battle because they're drifting toward popular beliefs and they're drifting toward popular actions and they're drifting toward the desires and the wants of individuals. But we've got to be willing to go against the tide. We've got to have a strong anchor. We've got to be rooted and grounded in Christ. Our minds have got to be anchored to the truth. Ephesians chapter 4, if you will, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 14 and verse number 15. Ephesians 4, verse 14 and 15. Bible said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Then look what it says, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Then he said, by the sleight of men. What are you talking about? He's talking about men can trick you. And I know men can trick an individual, and many times they do a lot of their trickery in the midst of someone drifting. The sleight of man. You know, a magician is called someone that does sleight of hand. But there are false teachers who by the sleight of man, in other words, they deceive individuals. They deceive individuals by coming up and sharing some obscure doctrine. They deceive individuals by putting a long and lofty and what appear to be legitimate articles on the internet, and they cause people to doubt what the truth of the gospel is. But I'm here to tell you that we can't be tossed to and fro. That's why we got to stay in the word. They lie in wait to deceive. They're waiting on you. They're watching you. They're coming up with a plan to try to deter you off course. Not only do we need to be anchored in the truth, go to verse number 15. He said, but speaking the truth in love may grow up to him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. We got to be anchored to the truth. Then I want you to get Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18 and verse number 19. I'm almost done. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 18 and verse number 19, the Bible says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. He said, we have a strong consolation which have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. I'm going to tell you, when we have our mind set on the hope, see, a lot of times folks begin to drift when their mind becomes set on another destination. The things of this world are not my destination. The possessions of this world are not my destination. Power and recognition in this world is not my destination. My destination is a hope. It's an anticipation of one day living in the presence of God. Go to verse number 19. Which hope we have as a what? Is an anchor. I'm going to tell you, we need to drop anchor. Drop anchor with the word of God. Drop anchor with hope. Drop anchor with a depth of faithfulness, which hope we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that which entereth into within the veil. Then one more verse of scripture. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16 and verse number 18. Is this all right? Y'all got quiet on me this morning. The Bible says in verse number 16, he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might by his spirit in the inner man. Next verse. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and then that ye being what? Rooted. And what? Grounded. What you saying, Paul? I'm saying I don't want you to move. He said rooted and grounded in love. In verse number 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. We need to begin to understand the capacity of the love that God has for us. And that ought to be enough for us to drop anchor and be rooted and grounded within the truth. I'm just going to stay with God. I'm not going to allow myself to drift. I'm not going to allow myself to get caught up in the world and the things of this world and the challenges that this world often puts on each and every one of us. I'm going to stay with God. When I think about staying with God, the psalmist said over in Psalms chapter 1 about the word, I'm going to stay with the word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate both day and night. The Bible said he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Oh, I want to stay with the word of God. Not only am I going to stay with the word of God, I'm going to stay with Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus does not move. If I want to keep from moving, keep from drifting, I'm going to stay with Jesus. Oh, and not only am I going to stay with the word, and not only am I going to stay with Jesus, I'm going to stay with the church. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28, wherefore, seeing that we received a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace that we may serve God with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. If I don't want to drift, I'm going to stay in the church. It's a heavenly kingdom. It's a hell-proof kingdom. It's a heaven-bound kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom. It's a saving kingdom. It's a joyous kingdom. It's a kingdom that was conceived at the very beginning of time. It's a kingdom that provides me safety in the midst of a world that has all sorts of storms and all sorts of problems. I'm thankful for this kingdom. It's an unshakable kingdom. A lot of folk getting shook up by this world. A lot of folk got shook up on election day. I wasn't shook up. So I know who's over my kingdom. And I know where this kingdom is going. I'm not going to allow myself to drift or become discouraged, because I'm in a heavenly kingdom, a kingdom that God put the plans for way before the foundation of the world. And when I think about this kingdom, I think about the fact of drifting. And when I think about drifting, I think about a song that we used to love to sing. I shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. And I'm here to tell you, that ought to be the theme of every Christian. I shall not be moved. Yeah, there are troubles that might come in my life, but I'm going to say, I shall not be moved. Even if sickness overtakes this body, I'm going to say, I shall not be moved. Even if folk don't always treat me right or treat me the way that I feel like I ought to be treated, I'm going to keep on loving them and say, I shall not be moved. Young people, you're in school and everybody's going this way, but the scripture tells you to go this way. You ought to say to yourself, I shall not be moved. Sometimes our relationships become challenging and we're challenged on the way we should love, but you ought to say, I shall not be moved. Are you drifting? Do you see? Satan is causing some of us to drift right now. I'm about to offer the invitation. And for many of you, here's what's going to happen. You're going to stand. And you're going to realize in your mind that there's some things that I need to address. But Satan is going to say, you all right? You all right? You deal with it later. And another Sunday will go by and another week will go by. And you know what? If you've done nothing to address it, you drifted a little bit more. And the next time it comes up and you still haven't dealt with it, you know you need to ask for the prayers, or you even know that you need to acknowledge your sin and do something about it. And you don't do anything, you drift away a little bit more. I don't know what the time frame is of drifting. It might be for some a year, it might be some 5 or 10 years, but whatever the case, if I'm not steadfast, if I'm not remembering those things that God has told me to be, if I'm not allowing those things to permeate in my life, drifting will take place. And you know the sad thing about drifting is that Paul talked about a group of people that were able to finally go past feeling. They no longer felt guilt. They no longer felt wrong. They no longer felt that there was a need to do anything. There's another group of folks that Paul talked about. Their hearts had become hardened. That's a dangerous place to be. And if you're here this morning, you're a member of the Lord's body, and you've been drifting, you need to come back to the Lord. Ask for the prayers of the church. Make things right in your life. Get back to those things that would cause you to live a steadfast life and have an anchor for the soul. There might be someone here that is not a member of the Lord's church. I don't care how good you may be. If you've not done those things that are required for salvation, hear the word of God. Believe the same. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Go down to the watery grave of baptism. You might be living a good life. You might be meeting some of your goals. You might be meeting your aspiration. You might feel like, well, I'm living a good life. But if you have not given yourself over to God in the way that He commands you to do, you're just drifting. And it's time for you to get on course. And like Paul, he was able to say at the end of his life, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's what's required of all of us. Do you have a need this morning? If you have a need, we ask that you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Oh, I from the sunshine of love will thy roam, Father and Father, oh. Calling today, calling today. Calling today.